They're the happiest people because not just financially, but when you're giving and serving others, it creates a joy on the inside of you to be able to help someone else, because that's the Christ that's within us. Hallelujah. So we're excited this morning to introduce our speaker today. And they are friends of ours from the Heartland region on the Christian International Network of Churches. And Marletta, Apostle Marletta, ministered yesterday. And you ladies that didn't come out, you missed it. Is that right, ladies that came out? Yes, it was a good, good word. And so we're thankful they ministered to our A-team last night. We appreciate our A-team and all the mobilization they do for the church. And so this morning, for our River of Life family, we have Apostle Robert Flowers, and he's the founder of Center of Hope Network, ordained under Dr. Bill Hammond, and he is a regional leader for Apostle Leon, like Apostle Leonard and I are regional leaders. We meet with ministers every other month in this area, in the northern sector, I always call it. And they're in that southern sector. They're down in St. Louis, Missouri. And we so appreciate the time that they took to come up. He has the heart of an evangelist, and his desire is to see the kingdom of God expanded all over the earth, starting with communities, cities, states, and nations. And he holds several different trainings and certifications from different places. And Bishop, he's always challenging us to keep learning, to keep growing in Christ, to take one more class, to do one more certification. They always have something going on for us. So we appreciate our oversight that really encourages us to grow and to stay in present truth. Tell your neighbor, it's present truth. Yeah, God continues to reveal through his word. So we so appreciate what he does. He has a heart to help heal the brokenhearted and equip the saints for the work of the ministry with the power of God so that they have a deeper intimacy with Jesus Christ. Sounds like he has the same heart and vision as the river. Hallelujah. And we so appreciate that he goes into the county jail and does ministry in the jail. He also goes into the local police stations and fire stations once a month and checks in with them, kind of like a chaplain, I would say, just checking up on those that are outside in the community serving. And we should be praying every day for our policemen and our firemen. Somebody say amen. So we just thank the Lord for him and his lovely wife, Prophetess Marita, and all that God has placed within them, and it's just a treasure. So let's extend our hands if they would stand this morning. I'm not sure if they're ministering together. I'm sorry, it's Marletta, it's not Marita. So, right? Marletta, okay. Let's extend our hands. Father, we thank you for this man and woman of God. We thank you for all the gifts that are within them. We thank you, Father, that you stirred up and bring forward what this group of people need to hear today. Holy Spirit, teach us, release your revelation, increase our understanding, and we thank you for the servants of God that have come into this house. We bless them in the name of the Lord. And the church said, amen, amen. So at this time, Apostle Robert and Marletta.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for welcoming us. I asked my wife to come up. I just wanted to introduce her to some of you that haven't met her. This is my beautiful wife, Marletta Flowers, my better half. Amen. How many of you married men understand that? You need your better half.
Amen. Amen. Hello, everyone. Thank you for having us. Thank you, Dr. Cook. Thank you, Pastor Leonard. We are honored to be here. We are happy to serve. And you all just have a hospitality that have touched our hearts deeply. Thank you for that. And we are looking forward to what God is going to do today.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, honey. Amen. Just again, just so beautiful to be here with the A-team last night, to be in your beautiful sanctuary. So much vision in here and creativity. Dr. Cook walked us through. I mean, as you just come here, you get vision for when you go back home and creativity for when you go back home. So it's such an honor to be here among you. And there's such a tenderness of the heart of Jesus here. That I just experienced just doing worship last night, and it's just a beautiful thing, and I really wanted to just relay that to you, because I know sometimes when you're in a house and you're there all the time and you live there in an area, it can become familiar to you. And I would say, don't let it become so familiar that you don't recognize the tenderness of Jesus in this house. Amen. I want to talk about finding God in the darkness today. Darkness, it refers to trials, tribulations, devastations. How many of you experience those things? Amen. Amen. Even if you're young, you probably experienced a trial at school or something with another kid or just passing a class. So all of us can relate to that, finding God in the darkness. And sometimes some of these situations seems to be so shrouded in the darkness, hard to understand, hard to comprehend or relate to or really see what the Father is doing. And if we're not careful, it can affect us adversely. But I'm here to tell you today, God always has a plan, even in the darkness. Even in the trials, even in the tribulations, even in the devastations, even in the heartbreaking, gut-wrenching, mind-blowing situations that happen in our lives, God always has a plan. He's always involved in every aspect of our lives, every minute, every second, every minute, every hour of the day. He's always with us. Amen. Isaiah 45:15 says this. It says, verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. The prophet Isaiah began to give us insight into the very nature of God. And he says, God, you're a God that hides yourself. Now, I begin to learn about this because I've been in so many heartbreaking, earth-shaking, mind-blowing situations, so many tests, so many trials. When I wasn't born again, when I was born again, some my faults, a lot not my fault, but nevertheless, they were trials, tribulations, and testings that I had to walk through. And I had to learn to find God in the darkness, find God in the midst of it. And God began to birth a revelation in me where I found him, and no matter what I went through, I could find him in it. Amen. And so Isaiah gives us this insight that God hides. And he gives us this, that the nature of God is meek. And so God has this mild-tempered, quiet, gentle nature. Have you ever been around somebody that was just meek? They were very quiet nature, very laid back, very gentle. And if you wanted to really get something out of them, you had to kind of probe. You had to ask questions. You had to kind of search out some things. And that's one thing I learned about God. I learned about his nature. He loves for us to search things out. So even though I'm in this darkness, in this heartbreaking, earth-shaking, mind-blowing situation, in the midst of it, God, I want to search you out. Because I know somewhere in it, you can be found. Proverbs 25:2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. A thing could be a revelation, a message, whatever God wants that thing to be, but it's his glory to conceal it. And then it goes on to say, but the honor of kings to search a matter out. So when we begin to search that matter out, we begin to get an aspect of God's glory revealed to our hearts in the darkness. We may find a message in the darkness or a revelation in the darkness, but there's a revelation of God's presence or his person that begins to be revealed to us in the midst of the darkness when we search him out. Amen. The worship team has already begun to build a cloud of glory in here. As I minister, I want to keep building that cloud of glory. And there's going to begin to rain. It's going to become a glory. And some of you may experience different things, fire, warmth. I don't know, however God wants to touch you. But I want you to be aware of God in this place today. Because God's everywhere. And the very breath we breathe is the respiratory system of God. He told Ezekiel, he said, prophesy to the winds. And when Ezekiel prophesied to the winds, he said, oh, breath of God. So Ezekiel equated the very breath that we're breathing. If you put your hand up to your mouth when you're talking, breath will come out of your mouth. That's the very respiratory system of God on the inside of you, his very breath that you're breathing. That's how real he is in this place today. That's how tangible he is here right now. Amen. It's the glory and the honor of kings to search a matter out. So God looks at how we search a matter out, even when it's darkness, even when it's shrouded in darkness, even when it seems mysterious and we don't understand and we can't comprehend, God is still inviting us to search this matter out. And he's looking at how thoroughly we will begin to search this matter out. Amen. Because God wants us to come into the deeper meaning of this dark moment in our lives. And no matter what we go through, what we're experiencing, there's something deeper in it when God is in it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I want to pray for a moment. Father, I thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to stand before such a great people today. A people whom you love, a people where Jesus is in the midst of him, manifesting his tenderness of his heart. I thank you that your blood is saturating and occupying in this place today, God, and just being concentrated. I thank you, Father, that you're always with me, and I thank you that you promised to work with me in the earth, and you promised to meet your people. And so I thank you today, Father, that you will begin to meet your people in this place. You will begin to meet them at their point of need. You will begin to touch their hearts and minister to their hearts, touch their minds and touch their emotions. You will begin to make yourself tangible to them. You will begin to manifest yourself in this place and your son. So we thank you for the manifestation of you, Father, and your son. But you promised in your word to reveal yourself, to make yourself known, to make yourself as real and as plain as the nose on our face, where we don't have to know you just by a written text, but we can literally meet the author of the text and have a continual experience with you and not just a one-time encounter. And so we love you and we thank you that you're so relational. You're so full of love. You are love. And we thank you for the manifestation of your love. We thank you that you have called us to be more than we are, like the song said. In Jesus' name. Amen. When it looks like it's over to us, God is just beginning. When we've exhausted everything we know to do and have nothing else, that's when God begins. Amen. Our limitation is his opportunity to show his greatness, his miracles, his signs, his wonders, his marvels. Our limitation is his opportunity just to reveal something great to our hearts. Amen. Glory to God. Finding God in the darkness is one of the most beautiful things you can learn to do. Finding him in your trials, in your tribulations, in your devastations. You find and discover the beauty of who he really is. You find and discover the meekness and the gentleness and the humbleness of his heart. You find how much he really loves you and how much he really cares for you. You find all that in the darkness. Amen. Amen. Exodus 20, verse 18 through 20. I want to lay a little foundation. It says, and all the people saw thundering and lightning, and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Here comes God showing up on the Mount Sinai in darkness with lightnings and thunderings and loud blastings. And the people of Israel stood off and became afraid of God. And a lot of times when darkness begins to shroud us, we find ourselves in fear. We find ourselves standing aloof from God. We find ourselves trying to figure out what's going on and why is it happening. But as we keep reading, it says, and they said to Moses, unto Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear. If we're not careful, we'll become a generation like them, that only wants somebody to speak the prophetic word to us and we hear them. All right. We don't want to get stuck there just looking for a word. Amen. But it says, and Moses said unto the people, fear not. Now hear God saying to some of your hearts today, in your troubles, in your trials, in your tribulations, fear not. And Moses goes on to say, for God is come to prove you. God has come to test your hearts. Not to destroy you, but to prove you. And a lot of times when God comes to test our hearts, he's revealing to us the work he's done in our hearts. Moses goes on to say, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. So God comes to reveal the reverence of him to our hearts. That fear doesn't become a snare to us. That we don't run from him and stand aloof from him in trials and tribulations and devastations. But like Moses, we run into the darkness. Because God is in the darkness. He's in the tests. He's in the trials. He's in the tribulations. He's in the devastations. You say, I can't feel them though. My Bible tells me we walk by faith, not by sight or feelings. I don't have to feel him to know he's there. He said, I'll be with you always until the end of time. So even in the darkness, I know God is there, so I run into the dark. You say, what does that look like? That looks like embracing the pain, embracing the test, embracing the trial, embracing the devastation, allowing it to do a healthy processing of work in our hearts and in our lives. Allowing it to bring a purification, allowing it to bring a deliverance, allowing it to bring a breakthrough, allowing it to bring a revelation. Or a message that God is speaking to me at this point in my life. Amen. Amen. Second Chronicles 6 and 1. Then said Solomon, the Lord has said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. You got all these scriptures in the Bible talking about God in the darkness. And God began to say, son, listen, every time there's a trial or tribulation or a devastation or a heartbreaking situation, doesn't mean it's the devil. How many like me, well, you bind the devil on every hand. I take authority, but you might find yourself rebuking and cursing the darkness that God initiated. See, if you only see the devil in the darkness, tests or trials that God has purposed for your life, you'll miss the purpose in it. If you only see the devil in it. Amen? Stick with me. No, this is going to be a little heavy, but listen to me. My child died. All I can see is the devil in it. Well, thank you, Holy Spirit. About 2 or 3 years ago, my mom died. I stepped out to do a service that I'd never done before, my wife and I. That night I was doing the service, she was hit by a car. I didn't know it until that morning. 5 days later, she died. It was darkness. But I could find God in the darkness. Because I understood his providence. I understood no matter what happened, he was in the darkness. No matter what the enemy meant, he could bring good out of it. And so you'll find, have dark situations in your life. You say, well, did God authorize it? No, but he permitted it. And yet he's still a good God. Amen. It's never one or the other. It's mainly always both, God and the devil in your darkness. Amen. It's usually not the devil initiating it either. It's God. Amen. God is normally the one who initiates our darkness. When you look in the Bible, majority of the men of God who went through dark times, guess who initiated it? God. Just look at Job's life. The enemy is roaming the earth. God says, have you considered my servant Job? Here is God initiating the darkness for Job's life. But God has a purpose in the darkness for Job's life. And although the enemy is doing the work of the darkness, God still has a purpose in it. Amen. And so no matter what you go through, there's always a greater purpose in it for your life. And if you keep that perspective, no matter what you experience in life, these three words will never change. God is good. Amen. Can you give them praise? They'll never change. Because you understand that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's always purpose in whatever takes place in our lives. What about Jesus when he was baptized? It said the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. It didn't say Satan came to look for him, to tempt him for 40 days. The Spirit drove him in the wilderness to fast and be tempted for 40 days. Here is God initiating again something for Jesus' life to test Jesus' heart to bring forth a greater purpose. Amen. And Jesus understood this. That's why Isaiah 53, Jesus yielded to it. And Isaiah 53 says that it pleased the Father to bruise his son. I remember a time I couldn't understand that scripture. How could it please you to bruise your son? Just no way it could please me to bruise my kids. And God began to teach me about his love. And it was amazing. He began to teach me about him and his son. And he said, who has the greatest love? The one who laid his life down or the one who gave his son? And I had an aha moment. I said, the one who gave his son, because I would give my life before I give my kids. And he was teaching me about the depths and the fullness of his love. And that no matter what takes place in the darkness of Christ on the cross, purpose was being birthed out of it. So God is a strategic God, because even in darkness, he's strategizing your victory. Even in darkness, he's planning to make you greater than what you already are.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Give him some praise. God is always looking to make you bigger and better. No matter what situation, what set of circumstances, he's looking to bring you out greater. It says, your meekness made me great. That's what David said, God. God, your meekness has made me great. God in his meekness, in your trials, your tribulations, your devastations will make you great, will enlarge your life beyond what you could dream. It's no darkness that can overtake you and me when God is in the midst of it. That's what he wants to remind you of today. There's no darkness that can overtake you and I when he's in the midst. Amen? So even though God permits the darkness, he's so powerful, the darkness cannot overtake us. If we keep the attitude of our hearts right, if we don't run from the darkness but run into the dark, well, God, this pain is too great. God says, listen, I'm greater than your pain. Even when your heart condemns you, I'm greater than your heart. I'm greater than your shame. I'm greater than your condemnation. Run to me and not away from me, Adam. And in the midst of running to God, you discover a message or a revelation. 2 Samuel 24:1. I'm just going to talk about this, about Samson. Here it is. Samson's a Nazarite, and God has anointed him. And God has told him to marry within Israel, Israelite woman. But Samson wanted to marry a Philistine woman. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, Go with me to Genesis 24. That's Second Samuel 24. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And you don't have to turn there, but David, as a king, the Bible says God and it was angered, and he incited David to number Israel. And the end story was there was a slaughter of people that happened. Amen. And I'm going to read this, 24:1. God's anger was kindled against Israel, and he moved or incited David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. Now, you wasn't supposed to number the people, but God is angered against Israel, so he incites David to go number them. And David tells the prophet, and the prophet tries to talk him out of it. But David insists on this being done because God has incited him to do this. And so he follows through. And what happens is the angel of the Lord comes, and there's thousands killed. But who initiated all of this? God. Because he incited David's heart to go number them. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying God will initiate things and tests and trials and tribulations to bring something beautiful out of it, to make you greater, to make you bigger, to purify you, to develop you, to cause you to become more like Christ. These are the ways of God. The Bible says that Moses knew his ways, but the children of Israel knew his acts. And God wants his church to learn his ways so that when we deal with gut-wrenching, mind-blowing, heartbreaking situations, we don't run away from him, but we run into the darkness because God can be found in the darkness. And no matter how great the pain, no matter how great that situation is, it will not overtake us because God is our victory. God is our overcomer. And so we can overcome whatever it is. Amen. So in the darkness, you have to find the message or the revelation that God is releasing to you. In every dark situation in my life, death after death for years, other situations, there were always a revelation or a message that God was releasing to me in it that would bring a healing, that would bring a deliverance, that would bring a purification, that would bring a transformation in my life. And so even when the darkness comes, I'm not afraid anymore. Because God will not allow it to swallow me up. Glory to God. I'll find victory in the darkness. And this is a prophetic word to you today. That no matter how thick your darkness is, no matter how bad it feels right now, there is a victory in you because God is in you. Victory is your portion today. Your situation, your circumstances changes today. They begin to turn today. There's a moment in time when things begin to change, when things begin to happen. It's called a Kairos moment. It's called a set time. And I'm here to announce to you today that you are in a set time. You have moved in a set time. And there's a divine turnaround in your situations, in your heart, in your circumstances. And what's been night in your life is about to be day. I need you to stand up and give God praise for what he's doing in your life today. My God, my God. He is turning the turmoil into joy. He's turning the pain into joy. He's turning the chaos into peace. God is turning things around in your life. And I don't care how great the darkness is, I decree today is your victory. It's your time. It's your time. It's your time. Yeah, yeah, you're catching it. It's your time. It's your time. It's your time. You're agreeing with heaven on earth today. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Glory to God. God orders our lives to be tested. That's just the way it is. And try. I want you to do something. Say, Lord, open my eyes that I might see you in the darkness. Because what you couldn't see before, now you'll be able to see. Things will begin to become clear. The light that you couldn't spot or see before, you'll begin to see in the darkness. Amen. Because if God doesn't open our eyes, guess what happens? We start complaining about the darkness, about the test, the trial, the tribulation, the devastation. If he doesn't open our eyes, we start blaming him. If he doesn't open our eyes, we start blaming ourselves. We start blaming other people. We start pointing the finger because we need somewhere to direct the pain. But God is saying, I'm greater than your pain. Run in the darkness. I'm in the midst of the darkness. It's just in our humanity that we always say, what did I do for this to happen? What didn't I do? And so God has to open our eyes to see it's not really about what you did or what you didn't do as much as it's about what I want to do in you and through you and for you. Amen. So he orders these things because he has greater purpose in our lives. That's why I love the song today. Hallelujah. And sometimes a conference has happened in heaven like it did with Job and we don't know anything about it. And all hell breaks loose. And we're wondering, what in the world is going on? Any of you ever been there? All right, I got a few in there. Say yes. Hallelujah. You know, God could have led Israel straight to where they were going, but he decided to take them through the wilderness. Why? He wanted to prove their hearts. He wanted to test their hearts. So he took them the long way. What did they do? They started complaining. It's not enough food, my clothes, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. God doesn't want us to complain in the darkness. Because the darkness is designed to fulfill purpose in our lives. The darkness is designed to accelerate us. The darkness is designed to make us to bring fulfillment in our lives. You say, how can darkness bring fulfillment? Oh, it can when God is in it. Amen. He makes all things beautiful. Hallelujah. Say, God is going to make the darkness work for me. Amen. Can we say it one more time with a conviction? God is going to make the darkness work for me. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we believe it today. Amen. I was telling you about Samson and Judges 14 and 4. I'm just going to read it. It says, but his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord. Here's the Lord again initiating something else. He wants to marry this Philistine woman. They're saying, no, the Lord said marry an Israelite woman. But Samson is insisted on. She's beautiful. I like her. I need her. I want her. But it says in verse 4 that the mother and the father knew not that it was the Lord initiating this in Samson's life. Wow. I'll finish reading it. But his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion. Look for the occasions in your life. God sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. If you don't find the occasion of God in your darkness, you'll curse it or speak against it. God will initiate tests, trials, tribulations for an occasion to make a fool out your enemies. For the occasion to destroy your enemies. Just look at Jesus going to the cross. It said if the devil had known, he'd have never. God used the cross as a strategic tool of weapon to make a fool out of Satan and to win humanity. He'll use your darkness to make a fool out of Satan. Glory to God. Look for the occasions in your life that God might be using to turn other things around. Or to birth a greater purpose. How many of you had anything happen in your life and out of it, it brought relationships back together? Even though it was darkness, some good things really came out of it. And had not they happened, maybe these things wouldn't have taken place. Amen. What about Joseph? Trade by his brothers, sold into slavery. He was innocent. But God was behind it all, wasn't he? Hallelujah. So if you can find God in it, you can find treasure in it. You can find the beauty of who he is. You can find the depths of his love, the depths of his mercy, the depths of his grace. When you find, those are treasures, amen, when you find him in it. And here Joseph is going through all of this and keeping the right attitude of heart. Because the Bible never says he really, it never discloses that he gained a wrong heart through what he went through. For as I read, it kept a right heart, amen. Yet it was God orchestrating him to be sold into slavery and go through all of these different things that he went through. And although he was innocent, you say, what are you saying, preacher? Listen, you may go through some tests and trials and tribulations and devastations, and you may be innocent. But if God is in it, he'll give you the victory. And he's working it together for your good. Amen. Glory to God. So no matter how painful it feels, no matter how God uses, how the devil uses people against you under the influence of the enemy, I need you to remember that in the darkness, God is in it. You can find him in the midst of, you can find him in the midst of betrayal. You can find him in the midst of jealousy. You can find him in the midst of lies. You can find him in the midst of underhandedness on your job. God is in the midst of it. And God has proclaimed the victory over you today. Even though Joseph was right, he didn't try to use his being innocent or right to force everything to be right. Amen. You may be right sometimes, but you may have to go through that. Even though you're right. Amen. Does that make sense? Let me put it this way. You'll have to give up your right to be right. Everything that's right is not righteous. See, righteousness is not just right standing with God. It's going through it the right way. Okay? So although I'm right, I got to give up my right because that's what Jesus did when he went on the cross. But I understand that God is in the darkness, so victory is coming soon. If I just look for him, if I just search out the deeper meaning of why I'm walking through what I'm walking through. Why did my mother get hit by a car and die? Why did a young man speeding hit her and kill her? I had to search for the deeper meaning and not be stuck at the point of just my lost, just my grief. There's something deeper in this, God. I can tell you what the plan of the enemy was to shut me down, to get me to pull back from God, pull back from ministry. If he gives you something else to do, new to do that you've never done, be afraid to step out to do it because one of your kids or somebody else might die. But God had a greater purpose in it for development in me of love and growth and beauty of him. Amen. Glory to God. So again, you can be right, but sometimes you have to give up your rights. It's okay, because in the end, you're going to be lifted up. In the end, you're going to come out on the other side. In the end, glory to God, you're going to reap more than what you lost. Come on. Amen. So we want to learn to yield to God in our tests and our storms. And we don't want to allow darkness to define us. Amen. Don't let darkness define who you are. Remember what he said to you in the light. Don't let your grief define who you are. I had to learn a new normal not having a mother or a father. I had to learn a new normal when my late wife died from cancer. I had to learn a new normal through all the deaths and different things I went through when kids walked away. I had to learn a new normal. I didn't allow the darkness to define who I was. But I found God in the light, and I let God keep defining me in the light while I walked through the midst of darkness. While I was betrayed by loved ones. While I was told you caused her to have cancer. You caused her to die. I'm already in pain and grieving, and yet I'm being blamed. You learn to walk through the darkness. I learned to develop the meekness of God, the gentleness of God, the mild manneredness of God, and not retaliate and stay low to the ground. To remain humble. I said, God, I'm walking through this darkness, but I've been seeking you about something. Jesus said, learn of me, for I'm meek and humble. Develop a meek heart in me. Develop a humble heart in me with what I'm walking through. I won't respond to the attacks. And even though I could shut everybody down and stop them from visiting her, I won't do it. Because you're in the darkness with me. And you're going to bring me out to the light. You're going to give me the victory. And sure enough, God gave me the victory. Amen. But it was a way I had to walk through it. I couldn't allow it to define me. So don't let it allow you to define you. And don't let it determine where you're at or where you're going. Your current circumstances doesn't dictate where you're at or where you're going. Amen. Glory to God. Only God. Only God. Meekness helps you look at things from a tender heart. Although I'm being lied on, although I'm being betrayed, although they're even filling my kids' head with this poison, and some of them are looking at me side-eye, how can you give somebody cancer? I never understood that. But when people are hurting, they're susceptible to any thoughts. And so God had to develop a heart of meekness in me to look at them through tenderness. They're hurting. They need somebody to attack. And you just happen to be the one that they're attacking. Amen. Are you encouraged today? God is giving you the victory today. Your darkness is over. Morning time is coming. Amen. Will you stand to your feet with me? It's over. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Just close your eyes with me for a moment. My time is up, so I want to pray quickly. Those of you that pray in a heavenly language, can you begin to pray in a heavenly language with me? Rondo de bashiko to brende le manda rebata la la manda reve. Randa la mando revita la la mando revede di ando dodobo. Ripa bando rebele le mando revede le lebo. Rita lando rebe bebe de brondo de deba ribando. Ride le mando rebe babando resella la mando reva. Ronde le mende ke le bugungande le gugum rangada. Babando le mele mondo reba babanda. Fobobonde reba. Father, loose the weight off of your people of the darkness, the Debanda River. I decree that there's a setting free today. There's a deliverance today. That this is a new day, the Debanda River. That this is a divine moment of time that we are standing in right now. And I thank you for the manifestation of your tangible love today in the hearts and the emotions of your people, God. I'd break pain off of their emotions, trauma off of their minds. Today they leave free from grief, from trauma, from pain, from the weight of every situation and every circumstance. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.